was amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Heavenly Father, Lord, I remember the day that you opened my eyes and I could see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Lord, you did that. You still do that today. Forgive us, Lord, our sins and failures, Lord. Wash us in the blood of Calvary. Make us whiter than snow. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We can do nothing without you, Lord. There's nothing good in us but what you have done. And I thank you for the opportunity today to come here together with those of like precious faith to worship you, Lord. For you alone are worthy to be worshiped. There is no man that's worthy or righteous. You are the righteous one. You are the holy one. And we love you, Lord, today. We thank you for your mercy and your many blessings. And Lord, I ask you to move me aside, Father. Take control of my mind and my mouth and my being today. Let us look into the pages of your sacred word, O God. Lift us up into heavenly places. Help us to see, Lord, what you want us to see. May you pour out your Spirit upon this little place, Lord. Help us to be what you want us to be. Bless your people today. May you bless the reading of your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. While we're standing, I'd like to read from Exodus. And it's a little bit of a lengthy reading, but it's worth it.
Amen.
Exodus 14. And I'm going to start with verse 5, and I'm going to read down through verse 31. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Exodus 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Amen.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all the hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Then the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise God. Isn't it good to know that our God is God? The one true living God.
Amen.
You know, I love reading things like that.
Amen.
Because he is the same yesterday,
Amen.
Today, and forever.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe it happened just that way?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people look at the Bible and say, well, I don't really believe that. But I believe it happened just that way.
Amen.
I can't explain it all. How did he dry up the ground that quickly?
Amen.
But a wind came over somehow, and you know, and it wasn't just the wind, it was God who just changed that wet ground into dry ground.
Amen.
They didn't walk through mud, right? They walked over dry ground. That's what it says, dry ground.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And the waters were a wall on the left and the right. Can you imagine them walking through that sea saying, wow, we have a God on our side.
Amen.
You know, it's nice to know there's a God on your side.
Amen.
When you're fighting the battles of this life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I love to think about that. My God is God.
Amen.
Our God is God. You know, he's the King. He's our King.
Amen.
He's the King of glory.
Amen.
There's a scripture in Psalms 24. It says, verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift ye up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Amen.
Who is this King of glory?
Hallelujah.
The Lord strong and mighty.
Amen.
The Lord mighty in battle. Listen, our God's not a wimp.
Amen.
Our God is strong and mighty.
There's
nothing that can stand before him. Lift ye up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. That's Jesus. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus is not a different person than the God of the Old Testament? Aren't you glad to know that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New?
Amen.
That's wonderful. That's incredible. What a God. What a wonderful God. Today, there's an attribute of God I want to talk about today. And I'm actually excited. If you can't tell, I'm excited to talk about it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
God makes a way where there is no way. This is an attribute of our God. And it wasn't just for the Old Testament. It wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for other people. It's for you and I. Our God makes a way where there is no way. So we're going to talk about that today. Praise God. Amen. I love to think about that. I love to think about the great victories of God that we can read about in the past and the great victories even in this day. But one thing that I noticed and come to my mind is that the conditions looked really bad before that great victory. You see, we tend to look at conditions, and then with our carnal mind, we try to figure out, well, how can we overcome? And we're always thinking in the natural. But listen, we're not supposed to figure it out. We have God on our side.
Amen.
A supernatural God.
Amen.
Where God is, there's supernatural.
Amen.
Think about the conditions that Israel was in. You know, they were trapped against the Red Sea. They had no place to run, no place to hide. It looked like all hope was lost, to the place where they're crying against God and Moses saying, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt to die? It looked bad. It looked really bad. But God wasn't done yet.
Amen.
You know, even when sometimes when God's people have doubts and fears because of the conditions, he's still their God.
Amen.
He ignored that. You know why? Because he understood it.
Hallelujah.
They couldn't see what he was about to do. But God already knew what he was going to do. God already knew. He hardened Pharaoh's heart so they'd chase after him. But isn't it amazing, though, even after all the miracles they saw, they said, you'd been better off to let us serve the Egyptians. That's kind of rough, you know. You'd be better off. You know, they weren't just against Moses. They were coming against God. So even after all God did to show that he was God, that he was a deliverer, the people were so afraid because of the conditions that they cried against God. But look what happened. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Moses said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. You know, there's something about that. That God really doesn't want us to fear the enemy. He doesn't want you and I to be afraid because the conditions are bad. He doesn't want you and I to be afraid because we know we can't do anything in ourselves. He wants us to believe in him at those times.
Amen.
That he's going to make a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
The supernatural God. That's how he gets glory. Hey, when you can explain how you overcome, okay, that's great. Thank God for that. But when there is no way to overcome and he makes a way, then he's displayed something. Praise God. And he loves that. He loves to be known as our deliverer. So, fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians that you're afraid of, After today, you see them no more. You know, Pete, we get so afraid of things and things get so built up in our mind. And what are they to God?
Amen.
What are they to God? There's nothing greater than our God. Don't put too much on what the devil's doing. You see the devil working. You see the devil doing this, doing that. He's a defeated foe.
Amen.
We know that. He's a bluff. Sure, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's manipulating who he can, but he can't manipulate us because God's on our side.
Amen. Amen. Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, the situation looked bad, but one thing we must never forget, one thing we must remember, God wants us to remember, when where God is, the supernatural is possible.
Amen.
All things are possible if we only believe. Was that Brother Branham's theme?
Amen.
Brother Branham didn't figure everything out. He was depending on a supernatural God. He would stand up there, and because of his experiences, he didn't know what God was going to do. And how many times did we hear Brother Branham say, well, you know, I'm waiting for him. He couldn't do anything himself. You know, and if I've offended him in any way, Lord, if I've offended you, forgive me, Lord.
Amen.
Did he say it or not?
Amen.
He's like, Lord, I need you. I'm just as helpless as can be till you come on the scene. But then the Spirit of God would come on the scene. He'd say, he's here now.
Amen.
He'd say, I take every spirit here under. That wasn't Brother Branham talking. That was the Lord our God, that same God that defeated the Egyptians. Come on the scene in this day.
Amen.
And the devils trembled. So, yeah, but Brother John, that was back then. You know, what about today? He's still the same today.
Amen.
He's looking for somebody that believes he's the same today.
Glory.
He's looking for somebody that say, I believe God, that all things are possible.
Amen.
I love this attribute of God. He can make a way where there is no way. How many times have you and I been, Lord, I don't know how to go forward. Lord, I got this situation. Lord, I got this relationship. It looks hopeless. It looks like I can't fix it. But Lord, I believe you can make a way.
Amen.
Where there is no way.
Amen.
I think he loves that. He loves when we believe that he can change the situation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right, so now when you run into impossible situations, don't despair.
Amen.
That's when you let yet faith kick in and just confess it, and then a high priest is standing there waiting to intercede based on your confession, your profession.
Amen.
You're between a rock and a hard place. You can't do it. You know you can't do it. That's when you stop and you say, God, you make a way where there is no way. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. I don't know what you're going to do, but I believe it.
Praise the Lord.
And I'll be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
And then you get through it, and he makes a way, and you stand back and say, my God is God.
Amen.
My God made a way. My God made a way. He fixed that situation. He did this. He did that. He made a way. I love to think about that.
Amen.
You know, we spend too much time trying to figure out things. I think we do. That's not what he wants. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe him when all looks hopeless.
Amen.
Believe in him, you know, because he gives hope to the hopeless.
Amen.
You know, there's a song I can hear our brother Perry singing it. He would sing, he's my Lord, there is no other one. Who can calm the storms of life like my Lord?
Yay.
He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it. He's my Lord.
Yay.
See, I believe that. He helps us when we can't help ourselves. You know, Brother Branham said that was a God-dishonoring statement when someone says, God helps those who help themselves. He said that's a God-dishonoring statement. God helps those who can't help themselves. Woo! That's me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's look at some other places where God came on the scene. Is that all right?
Amen.
Because there's many. There's many. You all through the Bible, you can look at it, you know, where there was no way out, but God made a way.
Amen.
He makes a way of escape for us. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel had done nothing wrong. There was jealous men that went to the king and deceived the king, who was Daniel's friend, and got him to sign this paper, and then it was a law. Anybody that prays to anybody else, you're going to be thrown in a lion's pit. So, of course, Daniel prayed. He got in trouble for praying. You know what? The devil's not going to be happy if you pray. He'll do anything to get us to stop praying, right? But keep praying, no matter what, you keep praying. So Daniel prayed, and they said, "Hey, king, look, we found this guy who prayed. He's got to go." And then the king was upset, right, when he found it was Daniel. He was deceived by these men. But anyway, it was the law. He had put it in writing, so Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. You know, that situation looked hopeless. But Daniel knew that God was God. And I don't know how far he dropped into the pit or anything, but you know, he's dropping from the ceiling down to here, and he hits the floor, and there's hungry lions in there. You know, how would you have felt?
Amen.
You know, and maybe, you know, just thinking out loud, he drops to the floor, and there's lions around just ready to pounce on him. And right when the lions are ready to pounce and just destroy him and tear him limb from limb, a light appears in the room. That's what I believe. A light appears in the room and just comes around Daniel. Maybe the pillar of fire was just... You ever see the pillar of fire go on Brother Bram's shoulder like that? How about the pillar of fire that appeared in the burning bush? And that pillar of fire just grew around Daniel, you know, and it didn't burn Daniel. It protected Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, there still is that pillar of fire today.
Amen.
He's still our God today. And the lions, they didn't go towards Daniel. They were afraid of that. And God protected Daniel. When there was no way for Daniel to escape, God made a way where there was no way.
Amen.
And then what happened in the end, those people that tried to destroy Daniel, they got thrown in there and they didn't have no help from the pillar of fire.
Amen.
You should feel sorry for the people in this world that are the devil's using to be against you. Because our God is a God that takes vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Right? You should feel sorry for the people that mistreat you. If we really had great understanding, sometimes in our flesh we're like, go get them, God. You know, but really, in the end of the day, you know, don't you want everybody to be saved? Praise the Lord. So Daniel was saved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. You know, Daniel was off the scene at the time. They knew Daniel better than all those people because they were friends. And when the king erected this gold image of Daniel and ordered everybody to bow down, Daniel's best friend said, Daniel wouldn't won that. Same thing today when they erect an image of Brother Branham. Those that know the message best will not bow down to that. Brother Branham wouldn't want that. Right? Baptizing in the name of Brother Branham, worshiping Brother Branham. No, we worship the God that Brother Branham worshiped.
Amen.
They appreciated Daniel's ministry. They loved Daniel, but they were not going to bow down to an image of Daniel.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Same thing's true today. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were standing for what was right. But looked like there was no hope. They're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And isn't it, the scripture says the people that threw them in, because it was pumped up seven times hotter, the people that threw them in, they got burned up. That fire was just out of control. Just imagine just consuming. And here they get thrown into the fire, but they don't die. Now imagine how surprised they were when they land in the fire and maybe they hear the screams of the guys that were threw them in. They got killed, right? And they're standing up and they're like, hey, I'm not burning. And the only thing that happened is the shackles came off.
Amen.
And they're walking around in the midst of the fire.
Amen.
And then another man comes in.
Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
The fourth man.
Amen.
He comes into the fire. You know, sometimes he comes right at those times. Right when we're in the midst of the fire. And what does he do? He sets us free.
Amen.
Imagine how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt. Our God is God.
Amen.
Huh? They had confidence before. They wouldn't bow before. But after they were thrown in, they had even more confidence.
Amen.
Our God is God. And see, that's what happens, brother and sister, when you take a stand and you're looking for God to deliver you and He delivers you, you have much more confidence after that. Nobody could take that from you. No devil, no human being can take from you an experience with God where you know that you know because you were there and He delivered you.
Amen.
You could say, He makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
How many could say that today? You know,
Amen.
He makes a way.
Yes, Lord.
And today God's just reminding us, I'm a God that makes a way where there is no way. You have situations in your life and you're saying, I don't know how to go forward. I don't know what to do. Look up. Our God makes a way where there is no way. Look at David going out to Goliath. All of Israel's trembling. You know, they're fearful. And here's a giant. It's just a giant. I mean, physically, in the natural, there's no way David could beat this guy. And in the natural, you and I, we come against circumstances that there's no way that we can humanly possible overcome. There's no way. We can't reason our way out of it. We can't connive our way. We can't manipulate our way out of it. But David had some experience with the lion and the bear. How can a human being kill a lion, kill a bear? But David knew that God was with him. And that was the only way, in his mind, the only way I could kill that lion and bear was God was with me. And so when he comes up to the army, now remember, David was small, right? He wasn't tall like Saul. When Saul is talking to David, they were not looking eye to eye. Saul is like looking down at this kid.
Amen.
Right? Is that true?
Amen.
And at first, when Saul hears that there's somebody saying he'll fight Goliath, he's like, all right, bring him here. Of course, Saul was afraid. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. And he should have went, right? He was the king.
Amen.
But he was afraid to go. So he hears about somebody that's saying, who is this that defies the armies of the living God?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and even David's brother didn't understand him because he's like, oh, you're just here. You know, you're just... He looked down on David. He didn't believe the story about the lion. He didn't believe the story about the bear. But I guess after David was holding Goliath's head, the older brother might believe a little bit.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Keep standing with God. God will vindicate the truth, right?
Amen.
No matter what anybody thinks. So there Saul comes to him and says, hey, you're just a boy. You know, he could twist you with his fingers. He could break you like a stick. And then David starts testifying. God was with me, killed the lion. God killed the bear. He starts with a confidence that he actually convinced Saul to let him go. You know, it was bad for the armies of God if David would have lost. Right? Because Goliath's saying, hey, let's not all fight. Just let's have a one-on-one deal and whoever wins, wins. Right?
Amen.
So Saul was convinced. I guess he had no other choices at this point. And David had enough inspiration about him that Saul says, all right, you can go. But you have to put my armor on. And then David puts the armor's probably weighed as much as he did. And he's staggering around, right? Can you imagine what that looked like? And David says, hey, you know, I appreciate it, but I haven't proven these.
Amen.
See, that's what experience does. You've proven something, and you hold to that.
Amen.
That voice that is within you, that leads you and guides you. You have the Holy Ghost to lead you in your life.
Amen.
You're not to follow somebody else's Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You follow the Holy Ghost that's within you.
Amen.
You don't look for other men and say, hey, what do you think I should do? You look to God and say, Lord, what should I do?
Amen.
And God will lead us and He'll guide us. So David said, hey, you know, I appreciate it, but you know, I haven't proven these. He takes them off and he goes out there with a slingshot.
Amen.
Picks up some stones, right? Can you picture that scene? That was a hopeless scene. But David wasn't without hope because he had experience. That's what an experience does with God. That's why we must experience God. When you have an experience with God, you know that you know that you know, and you have confidence not in yourself, not in your strength, not in your abilities, but in your God to come on the scene in a supernatural way.
Amen.
So David gets out there, and Goliath's like laughing at him. Ah, what is this? I'm going to feed you to the birds. You come to me with spear and sword, and I come to you in the name of the living God. Woo! He knew where he stood.
Amen.
So now think about it. He gets this stone, right? He runs out there. He's running towards him. Goliath's just mad. He's going to like tear this little kid apart, and he slings that stone. Now, okay, maybe David was accurate. Maybe he could hit a tree or he could hit something, you know. But I believe even if he slung it and it was a little bit off, that our God come down and says, I'm going to put this a little bit on.
Amen.
And then God not only makes it accurate, he supercharges it. That thing embedded in his head, right?
Hallelujah.
So, in other words, it wasn't just a natural throw. That was a supernatural. That was a natural throw that God backed up with the supernatural.
Amen.
See, that's what we got to believe. Do all that you can, but believe God's going to come in the supernatural way.
Amen.
And make a difference.
Amen.
And David, the stone hits his head. You know the story. He falls to the ground. He takes his sword and he cuts off his head. And he's walking around with Goliath's head. That was pretty gruesome, but that's what he did.
Amen.
That was a great victory.
Amen.
Without God, that doesn't happen.
Amen.
Without God, David's dead on the field, and the armies of Israel are running. But with God, all things are possible. Goliath is slain, this great giant is slain, and the armies overcome the enemy.
Amen.
See, when you have a victory like that, it doesn't just help you, it helps everybody around you.
Amen.
Because you took a stand, you proved that there is a God, you have confidence, you can show the victory. Now everybody around you, it's contagious.
Amen.
Praise God. Like Brother Branham talked about the bears, you know, that invaded his camp, and that little bear had his back to him. He's like, what's he doing? Mama bear's running off, and the other cubs are running off, and this little bear doesn't want to move. Why? He had his hand in that honey jar.
Amen.
And he had honey, he's eating the honey. He's like, I ain't moving for nothing, I'm eating honey. And he looked around, he had honey dripping all over his face and everything. Remember that story?
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
And then he walks off and the others start licking on him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, when you have a victory with God, you're going to encourage everybody around you.
Amen.
You want to help your family? Get closer to God.
Amen.
Have a victory with God. Have an experience with God. That'll help your whole family. That'll help your friends, your coworkers. But in the natural, we can only do so much.
Amen.
But when you get a supernatural victory, then you get supernatural faith muscles, and you have strength and confidence, and you're looking for God to do the same thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking of Hannah. You know, she's barren. It's hopeless. She's got, the husband has this other wife teasing her that has kids, and she's like, you got nothing. You're no good. You'll never have a child. And here she is barren. It's hopeless. She goes to her husband. What can he do? Man can only do so much. Then she turns to God and says, God, help me. All things are possible.
Hallelujah.
Somehow she had that faith inside her that God could make a way where there was no way.
Amen.
You know, that testimony is still true today.
Amen.
It's still true today. You hear about people, the doctor says there's no possible way if you have a child, and they have a child anyway.
Amen.
The God that created our bodies can fix that little problem there. How big of a problem is that for God? Amen. God made a way. And you know, if you read the story, Hannah, I've been in Samuel this week, and I love to read about that and how that, you know, she promised to God a vow. She said, I'll give you this child. You know, I'll give it back to you. And so Samuel's born, and she won't go back to the temple till she weans the child. She's breastfeeding the child, and then she's raising the child up so that, and then she has to give the child away. How hard was that? But she was so happy to get that child. And then she gives Samuel to the priest, and he takes him in, and he's a helper to the priest, and he's consecrated to the Lord all of his days. And then she comes back every year with a new coat because he's growing, and she's, you know, she loved that. She loved that she was able to do that for God. But listen, what happened is she kept coming back, and the priest, now the mechanism God used, looked at her and said, Lord, bless this woman who's doing this. And she had other children.
Amen.
Boys and girls. Praise God. Our God is God. She can remember back to the time when it was hopeless, where she was distraught and she was barren and there was nothing. And then she could look back from this time when she has all these kids. I imagine when the kids made a little noise, she didn't mind so much. I remember a time when I didn't have no babies. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, what a testimony that is. You know, if we're just willing to give, serve God with all of our heart, all things are possible. That's what God wants. He wants all of our heart. He wants us to surrender completely to Him. And then just the supernatural just happens all the time, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at Joseph in prison. You know, the coat of many colors, and his brothers rejected him, and they were jealous, and they threw him down in the pit, and then they didn't want to kill him, so they sold him, and he goes into Egypt, and then he's in prison. He's like a slave, and you know, it looked horrible for Joseph.
Amen.
There was no way for him to escape, but God made a way where there was no way. God makes a way. He was wrongly accused, but God took Joseph out of the pit and raised him to the right hand of Pharaoh. It doesn't matter where you are today. God can change your situation.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people get in a job and I have to work on Sunday and everything. And they, you know, I say, don't get distraught. God can change the situation.
Amen.
I remember a time for me in my job when I was working at Yahweh and the church was starting up, and I was so tired because I was working all these hours and them trying to have Bible study and church services. And I got to the place, I said, God, this can't be your will for my life.
Right. Amen. That's good, bro.
See, you got to get to that place where you realize this is not the will of God.
Amen.
And when you get to that place, there's going to be a change.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So I said, God, I don't even have time to look for another job, but you can make a way where there is no way.
That's right. Amen.
And you know, after I prayed that prayer, it didn't get better. It got worse. But that was part of the solution.
Amen.
I was in this company, and I had a couple people working for me. I had a couple engineers working alongside me, and two engineers quit. Two engineers quit, just like that. And I'm looking up saying, I was asking for help, you know.
Amen.
And all their work comes crushing on me, and I'm being pressured even more. And I remember sitting in a meeting, and this vice president saying, when are we going to get this project done? And I said to him, you know, politely, but I said, when are we going to hire some people around here?
Amen.
He's like, all right, well, we can hire people.
Amen.
You know, they'll just push you to the limits, you know? I said, when are we going to hire somebody? So back then, it wasn't the internet stage. It was the Philadelphia Bulletin. And I put the ad in there. And that weekend, I opened a newspaper because I was looking for the ad for an application engineer. I said, all right, there's my ad. Maybe I'll get some help, you know? And I looked across the page there.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Amen.
And it was another company. It was actually a competitor of the company I was working at. So I said, well, product manager. I sent the resume in. Right away, I got a call. Come on up. I felt like I was walking into enemy camp. But I'm thinking, my God is God.
Amen.
He makes a way where there is no way.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This company's going to abuse me. I'll go to another company. Right? So I get there, and the guy says, man, this is really good. You got a great background. We'd love to hire you, but I don't have nothing here, but how about sales? And I have been thinking of moving to sales, you know, but even though the first time I heard about, you know, who likes a salesman, you know? It's like the worst thing in the world. You know, I was an engineer, you know? I was respectable. You want me to become a salesman? It's the lowest form of life as a salesman. But I had learned at Yahweh, there's a kind of sales, technical sales, where people are happy to see you. And so I said, yeah, I'm interested in that. A couple interviews, they made me an offer. It didn't work out. It took about a year because I didn't accept it, and back and forth, hired somebody else, then things happened. Anyway, after a year, I moved to this company. It took me 2 years, to my shame, to realize God answered my prayer.
Amen.
Because I had asked for all that. I said, Lord, I'm too busy. I need more time for you. I need more time with my family. I need more time to read the Bible and pray and listen to Brother Branham.
Amen.
And there are all the things that I wanted. God saw what I wanted. 2 years after, you know, changing jobs is hard, right? I was driving down the road. I make my own schedule, work out of my home. Things are good. God is still God.
Amen.
I say, He makes a way where there is no way.
That's right. That's right.
God can change your situation.
Amen.
God can change your job when you can't.
Amen.
Let's give it to Him.
Amen.
You know, we always want to take control of everything, but I say He's better at it than we are.
Amen.
And that's my testimony. God is still God.
Amen.
He makes a way.
Amen.
And it worked out that I moved into a flexible job working out of my home where I was able to do the church things and still work because God knew I had a desire to not be a burden to the church with all those kids. Maureen had to have all those kids, you know? So, and we praise God for every one of those kids.
Amen.
But, you know, praise the Lord. Think about that. You know, look at Jesus. Don't you like to look at Jesus? I love those scriptures where it says, the lame, the halt, the withered, the blind came to Him, and He healed them all.
Amen.
You know, every one of those people was a situation that was desperate. Can you imagine being blind and you can't see, and your whole life you're blind, and then Jesus comes on the scene, and now you can see.
Amen.
They can say, He made a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Right? How about when Jesus, look at how rude He was when He went to the funeral. He raised the person from the dead. Praise God.
Amen.
Here's a widow. She needs her son, and they're carrying the casket, and He just takes the kid out of the casket and says, be on your way. Our God makes a way.
Amen.
Where there is no way.
Amen.
Think of all that miracles that Jesus did, all the healings. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He loves to be known as a healer. He loves to be known as a deliverer. He loves that. He wants to be that for us. Pray. Look at Lazarus. How pathetic was that situation? His body was down in the grave how many days? 4 days.
4 days.
That means it was rotting.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we can't roll away that stone. It stinketh now. That was a pathetic situation. But Jesus comes down and says, roll the stone away. Oh, don't you wish you were there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Everybody's watching. They moved back because they didn't want to smell the rotting body. Right? Lazarus, what could he do? He was dead.
Amen.
His spirit was out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, I thank you, Father. Not for me, but for the people around. So they can know that you sent me. Lazarus, come forth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And here comes out. He's all wrapped up. You know, he's all wrapped up. He couldn't, you know, then the people had to come in and, you know, I believe God took the stink away too.
Amen.
Right? He didn't have to have this rotting flesh. I think He made him whole.
Amen.
He rose him from the dead. He made him whole. What a testimony.
Amen.
You know, the people against Jesus, they weren't just against Jesus after Lazarus raised the dead. They were against Lazarus. He was living proof of a living God on the scene.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And when you have a testimony like that, the devil hates you.
Amen.
He doesn't want somebody that can testify about a supernatural God.
Amen, sir.
He'll let people have all the theology they want. Most of them all messed up in their theology.
Amen.
Guessing about this, guessing about that. I know what this mystery means. I know what that means. And they don't know anything what they're talking about. But when you got a testimony about the supernatural power of God,
Amen.
That's something the devil hates. Amen. Didn't Brother Branham say on the day of Pentecost, he said it, the Holy Spirit fell, 3,000 souls were saved, and the devil stayed in bed.
Amen.
That's what he said. Because the devil said, they got a little bit of religion, a little bit of theology. I can get one over on in there. I don't care if they get a little theology. He said, Brother Brand said, but when they went by the gate called Beautiful, and that lame man from the birth, silver and gold have I none, such as I have it, rise up and walk. And when that man rose up and walked, that supernatural power of God manifested that way.
Hallelujah.
All the devils in hell woke up and said, we can't put up with this no more. We can't let this spread. The devil will let you have religion. What he doesn't want you to have is a living God in your midst.
Amen.
A living testimony of a supernatural power of God.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to have a testimony that says, God makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be sure of that. He doesn't want you to be a witness of that.
Amen.
God makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
And all the people running around Peter, and he's like, oh, Peter. And he says, you looking on us like we're something? We're nothing. But it's the Jesus that you crucified. It was in His name. There's none other heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He had a testimony. You know, really, Peter could remember 10 days before that, he denied Jesus Christ. Peter knew he was nothing. And I do believe, brothers and sisters, if you're one of those chosen vessels that God's going to use in this last days, He's going to bring you through things to make you realize you're nothing. Without our God, we're nothing. So, if you feel like sometimes you're down in that pit of despair like Peter was, weeping bitterly because he denied Christ, don't worry, brother and sister. God is merciful. He'll forgive you. If you confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive you. Maybe you're being set up to be used for the glory of God.
Amen.
Maybe you're being set up for this next move of God, because I do believe there's another move of God coming.
Amen.
Where God's going to make a way where there is no way.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Can we look at Gideon? I love the story of Gideon. Judges 6.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Judges 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And it was so, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. What a situation. Every time Israel would make some advances, the enemy would come in and destroy it. So it says Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Talk about a hopeless situation. This is not just a week or a month. This is 7 years. They must have been so distraught and depressed, right? Now watch. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. That's the right thing to do, cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. Prophets are sent for deliverance.
Amen.
Real prophets are sent for correction and deliverance, right?
Amen.
Unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, I want you to hear this message. This is the message of the prophet that's recorded, right? I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice.
Amen.
What was the message?
Amen.
You got to do all these works to please me. That wasn't the message.
Amen.
The message was fear not.
Amen.
Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Fear not the enemy. Fear not the devil.
Amen.
Don't fear the devil. Right? But you have not obeyed. In other words, they were afraid. They feared the enemy. They feared the gods of the enemy. They felt hopeless. Praise God.
Amen.
Fear not, but you didn't obey my voice. See, they forgot that their God was God.
Amen.
He reminded them, the message reminded them that their God was a God of deliverance. Amen. Remember Egypt? Remember I delivered you out of Egypt? Amen. Look at the message of the hour today. He reminded us that God is a God that delivers. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God still heals. God still saves. God still baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
God is still present.
Amen.
The sun is always shining. It's just the clouds of unbelief get in the way. The supernatural is still for today. God sent a prophet to remind us God is still God.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the enemy. He said, you're living below your privileges. You are the children of God.
Amen.
The children of God. We're amateur gods on this earth.
Right.
He said, speak and go forward.
Amen.
Like he said to Moses, speak and go forward.
Amen.
Say what you want it to be.
Amen.
Speak what you want it to be.
Amen.
If your heart, your confidence with God, and you believe you're in the will of God, speak and go forward.
Amen.
Speak to the mountain and it shall be plucked up and removed if you doubt not in your heart.
Amen.
Speak and go forward.
Hallelujah.
Don't fear the enemy.
Right.
You know, it's those times when the conditions are the worst, it's at those times that we need to believe God.
Amen.
Anybody could say they believe God when everything's going good and you're on top of the mountain and you got no problems. But how about when things are terrible and things look bad and it just looks like and there's no hope? That's the time to believe. My God is God. That's the time to speak and claim it. That's the time to profess it and watch Him come on the scene. It's when the things are bad. My God is strong and mighty.
Amen.
My God, the Lord, is mighty in battle.
Amen.
We don't serve a false God. We serve the one true living God.
Amen.
We don't serve a God of denominational creeds and mixed creeds like that. We've been delivered from that.
Amen.
You know, there was a time in this life where the denominations all bogged down, fighting one another, and creeds and dogmas had the people in prison, and then God came on the scene.
Amen.
God made a way where there was no way. And remember, Brother Branham always cautioned us, we're always looking to God's great victories, but we fail to see the humble thing He used to bring deliverance. He used a humble Kentucky hillbilly.
Amen.
No education, to meet a world filled with education.
Amen.
A theological giant dominating the churches. Oh, you can't preach without PhD, LLLD. Brother Branham went in there with a little slingshot of faith and he destroyed the enemy.
Amen.
So that everybody had to step back and take note.
Amen.
Of course, many people didn't agree with Brother Branham. It's always going to be that way. But there is a remnant that said, there's a prophet of God.
Amen.
There's God working with that man.
Amen.
God did something. Amen? And it's those people that follow what He taught.
Amen.
You know, the people that have allowed the devil to discredit Brother Branham, do you think they follow his teachings?
No.
Doubt and fear was introduced to their minds, so they dismiss his teachings. They're not interested. They're not feeding on, to me, manna from heaven. They're not feeding on faith building. You know, Brother Branham said rapturing faith, he talked about it. The faith that will take you in the rapture, it's laying in the messages.
Amen.
See, the thing is, it's not some way out supernatural thing. It's common. It's like that hyssop faith. It's right there if you can just grasp a hold of it.
Amen.
But if the devil can get you to lose confidence, he's got you right there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can I read Isaiah 43? Isaiah 43, verse 1. Amen. Oh, just listen to this. Our God is God.
Amen.
But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine.
Amen.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Praise God. You know, there's double meanings in the Bible. And back then, Isaiah is talking about Israel, but he's talking about us too.
Amen.
To the north, give up. To the south, keep not back.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says they shall be there and their seed with them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house shall be saved.
Amen.
I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care what the conditions are like. We have a claim. We have a promise of God and we'll speak it out.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. But, you know, look at Israel. You know, nobody thought they would become a nation again. But God made a way where there was no way. Without the supernatural power of God, Israel would never have become a nation again. You know, I love that statement of the Israeli generals. He said, "You Christians, you believe in miracles. We live by them." We live by them. That's it. That's the kind of Christian you want to be. I don't just talk about miracles. I live by them. I get into situations where I can't go no further, and I trust in my God, and He comes on the scene, and He makes a way where there was no way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. To the north, give up. Verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have ye eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Now look at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses. God always has a witness. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Israel's always the servant, that ye have known and believe me and understand that I am he. But listen, before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. Listen, there's only one God.
Right.
Hey. There only ever will be one God.
Sir,
and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a privilege that we can have confidence in that and prove that throughout our life.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's only one God. You know there's only one God, isn't there?
Preach on,
brother. Preach on. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, the devil's act, when you get on your knees, the devil is trembling.
Yes,
not because of you, not because of me, but because of the God we're talking to. Because we're talking to the God that is God.
Amen.
And prayer changes things.
Amen.
Faith.
Glory be
changes God. Things.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at this. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there is no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Praise God. Oh my, you can go on and on and on. See, this is why we need to read the Bible. So God can speak to us about our situation. How many times, I'm asking you a question, how many times have you been had a desperate situation, you needed to hear from God, and you pray, and you take your Bible, and you say, God, I need to hear from you, and He speaks directly to you from the Bible.
Amen.
You prove that the God of the living God is the God of this Bible.
Amen.
He speaks to us from His Word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, you know what gets results? It's your attitude and approach to God. Your attitude and approach. I remember before I was preaching, I used to go to church and I had all kinds of desperate situations going on, and family didn't believe and Maureen didn't believe, and I go to church and I say, God, I need to hear from you. And I literally would say that. I'm driving to church by myself. God, I need to hear from you today. I don't care about the preacher. I don't care about his condition. I think you can change him and move him to preach on what I need to hear. And I can't tell you how many times the preacher's like, well, I'm moving off my notes and I don't know why, but this is it. And he'd speak exactly to me.
Amen.
Sometimes it was correction.
Amen.
Sometimes it was edification.
Amen.
Sometimes it was wonderful.
Amen.
God is God.
Amen.
I have confidence that He has chosen this way to speak to us.
Amen.
But can we receive it as from God?
Amen.
Can we look beyond the skins and say, God is doing something? It's not man that's doing it. My faith can move the situation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm a witness. God makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
I remember being a 19-year-old boy that got my girlfriend pregnant. I remember that situation where I got married and I wasn't a Christian, and Maureen and I fighting all the time, and we're at our wit's end, and we're about to be divorced, and then God came on the scene.
Amen.
He touched me one day.
Amen.
March 1st, 1987, He came down and spoke to my heart and touched me and overcame me. He led me to the Bible. And the very first time I picked up the Bible, He starts speaking to me. If your son asked you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone?
Amen.
Every time I came back to the Bible, He spoke to me. My God made a way where there was no way.
Amen.
I didn't know how. I was desperate. I used to feel sorry. I look at Robert and I say, you're stuck with me, kid. You can't have any other dad. You're in this bad situation. Maureen and I are having trouble. And then after God changed me, Maureen left and she went to her mother's. Another bad. So I thought I was doing good, God. But he come to me when I would pray and he said, listen, you know how God speaks to you in prayer? And he says, listen, just love her.
Amen.
Just love her.
Amen.
Don't require this and require that and require that. That doesn't win anybody. Love wins people.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Now I realize we get in situations and they're hard situations. And you know, you can look at the Eli and the Lord said, you know, you didn't restrain your sons. And I get that. And sometimes it's difficult for us to know where to draw the lines. Amen?
Amen.
But love wins people. People need to know that you love them. And see, here's what happened to me, and I remember this like yesterday. There came a love into me that was different than my love that reached out to Maureen. A supernatural love. A love that didn't make sense. And God's love doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. It's supernatural. You know, and it was a desperate situation. Maureen would say things. Now, she's in the back. She can bear witness to this. Which, Maureen, God makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
She's fighting migraines, but I rebuke those migraines.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The devil's a defeated foe.
Amen.
Maureen already knows that.
Amen.
So I remember the spirit that got on her. See, and listen, when someone's not serving God, there's an evil spirit there. And that spirit would say to me, I hate what you believe. You know, stepping back, you say, well, praise God.
Amen.
The devil hates what we believe. Why? Because what we believe defeats the devil.
Amen.
What we believe is precious. And then my dad, you know, I love my dad and he loved me, but he had a spirit on him too, Catholicism, and Maureen would act up and he'd be looking at me and I'd say, I believe God's going to change Maureen. She's never going to change. I'm like, all right, I'm looking at my dad, but a devil's talking to me right now. And that's what we need to realize. If people are against God and the things of God, that's the devil. It's not those people. If the devil leaves and the Holy Spirit comes, they'll be sweet, humble, loving, and they'll want to obey God. Right? We can't forget who we're fighting. We're not fighting the people that we see. We're fighting the spirit of the devil. So anyway, after 3 years, and I realize that's a short time. Some people have an unbelieving spouse their whole life or whatever. But after 3 years, God come on the scene. And He made a change in Maureen. He made a way where there was no way. Praise God. I'm a witness today. God is still God. I don't care what situation, relationship you're in. God can change the situation. Amen. He can make a way where there is no way. I don't care if you got a financial problem, you got a spiritual problem. I don't care if it's a relationship problem. God can make a way where there is no way. Amen. He parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the enemy.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did we read about Gideon yet?
No. No, we haven't.
Amen. No, we read Isaiah. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, we read about Gideon. Fear not, right? Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Look what he said then. Fear not, but you have not obeyed my voice. See, I believe that the message of the hour is the same. Fear not the devil. Remember that I am God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go. I've been in Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel 5. How much of God is God? He doesn't really need our help to do anything.
Okay. Amen.
1 Samuel 5. I just want you to look at this. I enjoyed this so much this week when I was into this. I'm like, praise God, you know.
Amen.
You can't mess with our God. 1 Samuel 5, verse 1. Let me just read quickly, trying to finish up here. 1 Samuel 5, verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God. Now, this was right after Eli had died, Hophni and Phinehas died, and you know, Israel was overrun because of all the trouble. So the priest died, and the two sons died, and they took the ark. What a dumb thing for the enemy to take the ark. They can't handle the ark. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, their false god, right? And it was set by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Now let's just read the story. It just makes me too happy. Praise God. And when they behold early, Dagon was fallen on his face before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both of his palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him.
Amen.
Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. Praise God.
Amen.
The enemy can't take our God. The ark is the word of God. The enemy can't take the word of God and control the word of God. You know, that situation looked really bad. It looked like there's no hope. The priest died. Hophni and Phinehas died. Israel's on the run. The ark was taken. Listen, if it looks like the ark has been taken, don't worry. God defends himself.
Amen.
God defends his word. So let me ask you this. How did Dagon fall on his face that night?
Amen.
God did it.
God is right.
Amen.
Is anything too hard for God?
No, sir.
And when they set him back up, he's like, you just don't get it. He cut off his head and his hands. There was more fear and respect for living God in the enemies of God than in the people of God.
Amen.
Think about that. You know, Brother Brand come on the scene casting out devils. The sick were healed, the blind eyes opened. I believe the devils believed more that he was a prophet of God than some of the people of God.
Amen.
Especially today.
Amen.
Did God leave when Brother Branham left?
No, sir.
Is God gone now?
No, sir.
Is there no more supernatural now?
Same yesterday, today, forever.
You know, some people want to say, we got the word, we don't need the supernatural.
Mm.
I say, if you got the word, you got the supernatural.
Amen.
You got everything.
Right?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The enemies of God, they can't handle God.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It looked impossible for a bunch of slaves, Israel, to become a nation of feared warriors.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Think about 400 years, they're slaves, they're making the pyramids, they're in drudgery, they're in misery. It looked like they'd never get out. But one day, it was time for deliverance. And at that time, God raised up a prophet. He loves prophets. The world don't like prophets, but we do.
Amen.
We like real prophets.
That's true.
Right?
Amen.
So God came on the scene, and he took that which looked impossible, and he made it possible. He took this nation of slaves and made them a nation of feared warriors.
Amen.
How did that happen? The supernatural power of God.
Amen.
I don't care what situation you're in, how bad the condition you think you're in. God can take you in any condition, and he can transform that by his word, by his spirit, and he can make something wonderful out of something that looks horrible.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what it looks like. Stop. We got to stop looking at the way things are.
That's right.
If we're always looking at the way things are, we'll never attain to what they can be.
Amen.
Look to what they can be because of God. Have faith in God. Confess what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me just read from Joshua, trying to finish up here. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Joshua 23, verse 2. They finally went into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And everything God promised happened. They took the land. He placed, so there was stumblings coming in and out. They had to wander for a long time. But finally, the promises were true. Joshua placed them in the land, and they took control of the land. They overcame the enemies. And here's Joshua at the end of his life. Joshua 23:2. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for the heads, and for the judges, for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you.
Amen.
Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you.
Amen.
Be therefore very courageous to keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from therefrom to the left, to the right hand, or to the left, that ye come not among these nations that these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, neither bow yourself to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day.
Amen.
For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you,
Amen.
As he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, mankind was in a bad way. Sin had taken control. There was no hope. But then God came. The promised Messiah came. He made a way where there was no way.
Amen.
When he took up that cross, and he died on that cross, he made a way for a sinner to come back to God. He made a bridge back. And you know, it's not a hard bridge. You just got to humble yourself to God's provided way of escape. You know, we want to go our way sometimes. We want God to do things our way. But God has His ways. We just need to find His ways and do things His way, right? God makes a way where there is no way. Through His sacrifice, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin. You know, in the Old Testament, they would bring up the sacrifice and they had sin in their life and they couldn't overcome it. So they were repentant about it and they would leave a sacrifice for sin. A spotless lamb, an innocent animal would die and they'd watch the animal die. But they walked away and the sin was still there and they would do the same things. And they come back every year and they're offering the sacrifices every year. Well, God made a way where there was no way to change us from the inside out. To remove the desire for sin. We don't want sin anymore. We want the Spirit of the living God. So that when we embrace Calvary and we hold that spotless Lamb of God, now the life that was in the Lamb comes back into the believer. He made a way where there was no way. He was with His disciples physically and He said, listen, I'm going away, but it's better that I go away. And they didn't understand that. They thought, no, we're with You now. We can see You now. We want to keep seeing You. We want You to be a natural king. He's like, I got a better way. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send back a comforter. And when He comes back, He will remind you the things I said. He'll show you things to come. He'll overcome in you and I'll be with you and even in you. Amen. He is the comforter. In other words, He's saying, it's better for Me to go away because I'm going to come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. And then if you believe in what I did for you, I'm going to come into your soul and I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then I'll be with you and I'll overcome all your problems from within you. Oh, what a better way. God's way. Praise God. You know, it just doesn't matter what circumstances are. God makes a way where there is. Let's all stand. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Calvary. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, I know that you know this already. This is a simple thought. God makes a way where there is no way. Amen. We know this already. What we need to do is practice it when we get to those situations. We need to remember that we don't just have religion, we have a living God. Amen. And you need to prove that in your life. Don't wait for the rapture to prove it. You prove it now. David proved it before Goliath came. We need to prove it now. So when that rapture day comes, we'll say, Lord Jesus, yes, come up hither, bride. Amen. Yes, Lord, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. That we can come together to worship You, Lord, to look into the pages of Your Bible and to be encouraged, Lord. And I pray that You encourage the heart of Your people today. That they realize they don't have to do it themselves. They can't do it themselves, Lord. We need the supernatural God to come in our midst and to part the Red Sea. To make a way where there is no way. Lord, And I can imagine the children of Israel on the other side when they looked back and they saw the bodies of the Egyptians. They said, our God is God. He made a way where there is no way. Lord, we have situations now, Lord. We look forward to that time. We can look back and we can say, my God made a way where there was no way. Bless Your people, Lord. Give us wisdom. Your wisdom, Father. Help us to know what to do. Help us to make the right choices in life. Help us, O God, in all of our relationships, Lord, that we could do what You want us to do. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord, to Your way, not our way, Father. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming today. You know, that was on my heart all week. I just had to get it off my heart. Amen. God makes a way. You know how many times that was in my mind. Can't even sleep. You know, God makes a way where there is no way. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Amen. You hear that one? And we'll tell of his love.
Amen.
Amen. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give all glory to Jesus and tell of his one. And again, we'll give the glory to Jesus.